Howdy, friends, and welcome into Gridiron Frogs Podcast as part of the TCU Horned Frogs on SI. I'm your host, Just Nolan, because you can't handle the Ruth, a Fort Worth area native with very interesting and peculiar ties to TCU. I'm joined by my partner in crime, JD Andres, who seems to co-host every podcast on our site. This is episode 6, I believe, of our show covering TCU football and a smattering of other topics related. Speaking of that, we have one of those topics we will get into a little bit today. It is Wednesday, the 21st of August, at the time of this recording, and JD, I need to ask, we've got college football on Saturday, 11 a.m. Will you be watching Florida State and Georgia Tech?
Will I be watching Florida State and Georgia Tech? I have looked at Underdog Fantasy. I have looked at different websites. I'm finding all the lines I can. I've been messaging Brett Gibbons, our other writer on our staff, asking him about lines. And, you know, to say I'm excited would be an understatement. Like, college football is the ultimate built-in excuse to not do anything on a Saturday. And let me tell you, I have an invitation to an October 5th wedding. My best friend from college. It's in New Orleans. TCU's on a bye that week. Realistically, I should be there. Am I going to be? I don't know. It's up in the air still. But college football is the epitome of everything that stands right with this world. So, for one, I can't wait to welcome it back, and I can't wait to hear that game day sound at 8 a.m. when I turn on my TV.
Hey, you make a great point, man. I have one of my best friends is an Aggie. He got married on November 4th of this past year, and I said, man, you are going to regret that when you're going to miss an Aggie game because you have to take your wife to dinner that night.
Yep.
But she's also an Aggie, so their anniversary might just be watching the Aggies at night. I don't know. Well, I'm sure they'll cross that bridge when they get to it. Well, folks, you might notice something a little different. My connection is just a little bit better than it usually is. Little problem with my router. It's one of those routers that gives me the 2.4 or the 5 option. And turns out my laptop had been on the wrong one this entire time. So hopefully now that I'm on the better connection, we won't have the problems that we've had in the past few weeks. Let's get started right here. There was news that came out of Waco just a couple of days ago, and I could have been talked into this, but I really didn't see it coming. But Daquan Finn has been named the quarterback of the Baylor Bears to start this season. And JD, you in our pre-podcast chat were mentioning that you had that all along. I did not. I thought they were going to go with Sawyer Robertson. He was experienced at Baylor, knew the system. Well, I mean, somewhat, you know, but he was there when Spavadal got there. He was working hard, you know, after Blake Shapen left for Mississippi State. And Daquan Finn comes in, and obviously there were questions, but this doesn't shock you at all.
No, and part of the reason it does shock me is you kind of just touched on it, is going to Jake Spavadal and the air raid offense. I mean, you have the Maction MVP from last year. He threw for 2,600 plus yards, 22 touchdowns, and only 9 interceptions. And what he gains on the ground hasn't even been mentioned. And honestly, I have Sawyer, Daquan Finn starting the whole time, and it still didn't really affect my rankings too much. Like, the defense is going to be solid for Baylor, but their offensive line still gives me enough worries that I'm not 100% sure. But I do believe that Daquan Finn has an argument to be a top 5 quarterback in the Big 12. And so, yeah, it doesn't really change my rankings too much. I had him there the whole time, but I am excited to see what he can do because he just is an exciting overall player to watch.
Yeah, and I find it interesting that it doesn't really affect your rankings. It doesn't significantly affect mine either, but it may actually bump them up considering that I was thinking Robertson was going to be the quarterback. So with Finn being the guy, I think Baylor can pull off a couple extra upsets, maybe just one. I don't think they make a bowl game still. I don't think they threaten, to really for the conference. As you, me, and Barry talked about last week, the TCU game's a rivalry regardless, and maybe that does affect just a little bit with the TCU's defense of how I think that game is going to go. But regardless, big news coming out of Waco that Daquan Finn is the quarterback. And you talk about air raid. He is a solid rusher as well, though. 2023 rushed for 563 yards and 7 touchdowns. He's a guy that, you know, for me as the eye test guy, is not afraid to pull it when he has to and just pick up that 4 to 5 yard gain when he needs to. He's not the biggest. He's not an option guy. He's not going to break free and rush for 25, 30 yards if you give him the space. But he can definitely be that smart rushing threat that when you give him that gap, he's going to pick up the yardage needed to get that first down and extend that drive.
Yeah, I think part of it and why it doesn't, why it didn't affect my rankings either is Baylor has a really tough schedule this year. I mean, one, they have Utah and it's not even a conference game. They get Tarleton to open the season, but and then they get a rematch with Air Force from the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl that they got embarrassed in 2022. Then you get Colorado, BYU, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, TCU, West Virginia, Houston is a, should be a win, and then you got Kansas. Like, none of their conference games are guaranteed wins besides Houston. And I just think that this slate is a little too tough for them. BYU will be a good opening test for them, too, because BYU does have a solid defense. So I think it'll be a good test for what the new offense will look like under Spavital. But I the team just doesn't do enough for me to be able to move the needle no matter who was starting back there at quarterback.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't think it's going to change much of my outlook on Baylor's season. Quick sidebar, that rematch with Air Force. I happened to be there that day. It was my 23rd birthday, and it was so cold that night. My friends wanted, I had a friend who was in from Germany. He was in the Army, so he got 4 free tickets. He knew it was my birthday. He's like, this is my birthday present to you. We went to Dutch's to get burgers before the game. We got out of the car, and I was so cold. I believe it was 11 degrees at kickoff. And I had a particular beverage that I went to take one sip of at kickoff, and it was just a normal beverage. And I waited about 20 to 25 seconds before going in for a second sip, and ice chips were hitting my lip. It was that cold that night, which clearly favored Air Force. And, you know, I still don't think Baylor would have won the game anyway. But just sidebar, I was there at that game. I know, I see Baylor Air Force. I remember my 23rd birthday.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, it was the
ultimate slap. It wasn't my 24th. It was my 24th. I'm sorry. It was
the ultimate slap in the face to Baylor was having to play at TCU in that weather, losing to Air Force while TCU was preparing to play in the college football semifinals. So, you know what? I'm sorry you had to suffer through the freezing cold, but I'm not sorry to Baylor and their fans. Like, yeah.
Hey, I'm not sorry at all, man. I love football that much. It was a great birthday present.
It's that's a cold game every year, though. No matter what teams are playing, that is always a 35 and below game. And I don't know why, because it makes it miserable, but it's a fun game to watch.
So another sidebar real quick, just as for a fun story's sake. While we were at Dutch's, we were looking at we were trying to look at tickets for the Cotton Bowl, which that year was Tulane and USC, which, by the way, we ended up going to. But we ended up finding out the Independence Bowl in Shreveport was the next day. And we literally bought tickets that night, woke up early, drove all the way to Shreveport to watch Houston just narrowly edge out the Raging Cajun. That one, I believe, was 25 degrees at kickoff.
Yeah.
So that was back-to-back days of freezing my rear end off and bowl season. But we'll talk more about bowl season when we get there.
Hold up. Don't disrespect my alumni real quick. I am a UL alumni, okay? Don't disrespect.
Hey, in all due respect, I was rooting for the Raging Cajun. And you can't go to a game in Louisiana and not root for the Raging Cajun.
You can't go to Shreveport and not go see their casinos. They got some good ones out there. I'm just going to say.
Well, unfortunately, that was December 23rd. I had to get back for a family Christmas Eve gathering. And I made it back in time, by the way. It was a good weekend. We'll talk more about bowl season, though, when bowl season actually rolls around come December. Right now, though, we are closing in on the start of the TCU football season. And the team, at least the way I saw it, was on X, formerly known as Twitter. We have 6 Horned Frog captains that we got to break down. JD, you literally just wrote the article on this, so you're going to take the reins. I'm going to list these guys out, and you just give us the breakdown on these, why you think they were picked as captains, why do you think they're good captains, and I'll, you know, some of these guys I know I'll be able to throw in along the way. So let's start with Bud Clark. Bud Clark named one of the 2024 team captains this season.
Yeah, Bud Clark is literally the cornerstone of this TCU defense. He was a major part of it last season and will be the main feature piece this year on that side of the ball. I mean, you don't even have to just see how he is at camp. You just you watch him as a person and how people respond to him and talk to him. He is probably the biggest name out there that people are looking to. And that he, if he doesn't step up and take a leadership role, then this whole team isn't going to be able to step up and take a leadership role. Now, to also a little talk about the captains real quick, I do think that it is a TCU thing that they don't have first-year transfers as captains, or else I think we could have seen different names on the defensive side of the ball as well as Bud Clark. You could have seen like Nana Osifo-Mensa, especially what people have talked about him from camp. But Bud Clark is literally the heartbeat of that defense. At least one half of the heartbeat. The other heartbeat is also another captain, but I'll wait till we get to there. But yeah, Bud Clark, I think, is probably the I think 5 out of 6 of these names are probably easy picks. And I'll talk about the one that I think wasn't an easy pick, but deserved it later.
All right. Well, on that note, continuing, we're going to alphabetical order by last name of these 6 captains. Chase Curtis next on that list. JD, what do we know about Curtis?
Yeah, Chase Curtis, I think he's 38 years old and in his 16th season at TCU. Not really. He's actually in, like, I believe it's his 6th season. But he's been here at TCU his entire time in his career. He has basically, I believe it was Sonny Dykes that said that he embodies everything that is right with TCU as a school and as a program. And you can watch people talk about that. We heard Coach Briles talked about what he means to this offense, even though he's not going to be a feature piece of the offense just because there's 2 better tight ends than him. He has basically, like, he is the locker room leader, not the on-field leader, and what he means to that program and being able to, he's the guy that if you need a player to be bought into a program, you send him to Curtis. And he's going to get them right within the next 24 hours. Moving on, I don't know if you want to add anything about Chase Curtis before I move on to the next one.
No, and matter of fact, I know and love this next one. Johnny Hodges, big defensive playmaker for TCU. And I've got a side story about him, but I'll let you go ahead and give your spiel about Johnny Hodges.
Yeah, Johnny Hodges, the little Navy transfer. He's in his second year at TCU. This dude hates losing so much that I don't know if it's 100% true, but I also fully believe it, that he broke his hand. He was so mad after a loss last season because he was quoted as telling the players in the locker room that, why are you laughing? You think it's fun losing? Like, this guy hates losing. You watch him on the field. He plays with such a physical and violent force that him and Bud Clark are literally the entire heartbeat of that defense. I believe Johnny Hodges will also be the guy that has a new technology in his helmet, being able to talk to defensive coordinator Andy Avalos. I'm like 95% sure that that's who it is. But Johnny Hodges, he's a very, very vocal leader. He comes from Navy. He knows the discipline. He's bought into the program. He had some unfortunate injuries last season that occurred. But other than that, I mean, the defensive captains they picked between Bud Clark and Johnny Hodges, you couldn't ask for better players to represent your defensive side of the ball.
I completely agree with this one. And I wrote a piece for our site before I left. It was actually, I think, one of the last ones I wrote before I left and then came back, was on Johnny Hodges, but it had nothing to do with football because this man could play professional lacrosse if he wanted to. It's actually why he ended up at Navy. And so I believe that story, I actually don't know, because we've switched systems. I don't know if Barry got my old story transferred over. But I hope you can still find that story somewhere. And the way I tracked him down, I had to go to a Panther City lacrosse match just to track him down. He was signing autographs there. He had just signed an NIL deal with them. He had spent the whole week with the team for social media content and stuff like that. And I just thought it was so funny that that's how I ended up tracking him down. Through that, I obviously looked at his highlights. I learned a lot about him. Even though I was covering Baylor last season, I was still watching TCU close, saw a lot of the way he plays, and I completely agree with you. I think that you could not ask for a better player than Johnny Hodges in this system to be a captain.
Yeah. Next one. I mean, it's a no-brainer pick. Josh Hoover, the quarterback of this team. Now, I will say it is interesting because technically Josh Hoover is considered an underclassman. He is only in his second year. But I think it shows how much he means to this offense. We've talked about a lot about last year when Chandler Morris went down, Josh Hoover was able to step up and the team rallied around him. You talk to anybody on the team this year and be like, hey, who is your leader? They will tell you Josh Hoover. They will tell you he doesn't talk like he's a leader. He doesn't say anything or act or, you know, profound how much of a leader he is. But the way he acts and the way he carries himself is what makes people want to play with him. And he's your very soft-spoken leader, but I mean, you can't have your quarterback there without, you know, being a leader itself too.
And see, that's actually what I wanted to ask you, because you brought up the point of, you know, the him stepping in as a captain role, and, you know, guys as young as him, we don't usually see this role, or at least in, as an experienced. So my question is, do you think this kind of plays into the theory that the quarterback kind of has to be a team captain?
Not necessarily. I don't think so. Because if you got a, you know, quote unquote game manager quarterback, then most of the time they're not really going to be your leader. They're just there that's getting the wins. I'm looking at you, 2017 through 2021 Penn State quarterbacks, Drew Allard. Like, you know, it's you don't always have to be the guy. You just kind of have to be the guy that makes the least mistakes, and I don't think that qualifies you as a captain.
Fair enough. All right, you want to introduce this next guy, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to butcher his last name.
Yes, the TCU long snapper Brent Matisic is how you say it.
Matisic.
Yeah, so Brent Matisic, I believe it was last year, made the switch from being a tight end to being a long snapper for TCU. He made the change because TCU needed a long snapper. He wasn't getting any play time at tight end. So he switched to long snappers. He's been there. It's in his second year. And we actually got to talk to Matisic last Monday, I believe it was, last week of fall camp. And we got to speak with him and hear his thoughts. And I asked him, I was like, hey, you know, you've been at TCU going on your sixth year. Like, what's it been like when basically the entire new special teams unit is all underclassmen? You got Kyle Limmerlin. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name because I need to ask him how to say it one more time. But the punter and the kicker are all basically underclassmen. They're freshmen or redshirt freshmen. And Matisic in his sixth year knows the, you know, TCU system, knows how college ball works. And basically he was able to just say that, like, he's kind of taken on the role of being the, like, the dad of the special teams unit and kind of showing him the ropes, showing us how it's done. And so this is my one that I mentioned earlier where I said, it's not like the one that is the obvious pick, but I do believe he absolutely deserves this pick. He's been in a lot of TCU online social media videos, pictures. Like, he is the jokester of that locker room. And I think he truly, like, he deserved that spot more than anyone else.
Interesting. I actually didn't even know he's a long snapper. I'm glad you said that, because he gave me the tight end look in his picture that I'm looking at right here. So
yeah, he used to be a tight end, but he is a long snapper now.
Interesting they go with the long snapper for the special teams captain. I would have expected a punter or something in that regard.
They're all underclassmen. That's why it's such an important role for that he's in right now.
There you go. And finally, sixth and definitely not least, Xavion Williams.
Yeah, I mean, there were scouts every single day at practice, and they were all there to see Xavion. He's been put on the award watch list for the freakiest college athlete. Like, the dude is 6'5". He's bulked up a little bit this year, so I don't know what his official weight is, but runs like a 4.6 or 4.4, 4.4, 6.40. Like, blazing fast speed, tall. He is basically, if he can stay healthy this year, he will be a better version of 2022 Quentin Johnson. And that's been my comp to him.
That's high praise.
Yeah. And ask anyone in that, you know, in that locker room, or even anyone on the coaching staff, Ken O'Brien would tell you that this offense is going to have to run through Xavion. If he can stay healthy and go 100% every game, then that's what they're going to ride. Sonny Dykes will tell you that he's been really impressed with Xavion and how he's carried himself. And I truly think you kind of saw him go from last year. Especially in the time of age this year where there's the transfer portal and everything, Xavion could have went to the draft last year and teams would have drafted him on the third day just because of his size and his ability. Or he could have transferred out. There were teams that offered him to transfer out. And he chose to stay at TCU because he believed in the culture and what was being built. And I think that alone is how you get players to buy in.
Yeah, good breakdown of all those guys. So just as a whole, these six players right here, as leaders of this team, how well do you think, as a group, these guys were selected? Do you think all six of these guys, as captains, can be a strong group of captains there?
Yeah, I truly think that all of those guys has either exemplified where how they are a captain or kind of shows what they mean to the program this year. I mean, Chase Curtis, Johnny Hodges, Brent Metisic have all been praised on end by not only coaches, but their players when we've talked to them about how much they look up to them and how much they mean to them, get like these guys. And, you know, that was a big issue going into the season, was that there was no locker room leadership. And these guys have all been the common names that have stepped up to show that leadership this season.
All right. Well, that's great. And I think that, you know, I'm feeding off of your positivity here, and you're usually the pessimist. That's a lot of high praise for these guys. And so you got me excited for the leadership role these guys will be taking on. Well, it's been a bit of a short show, but it's not quite over yet, because we have an event to plug, and we've got to tell our viewers and listeners a little bit about it. I'm sure almost all of them, you know, if not most of them, are familiar with it. But in just about 36, just over 36 hours from now, we will be pretty close to campus for the annual event that our site puts on. It is my first time doing this, but hopefully we'll get we'll get some feedback from coaches, some good content pieces that you and I can break down. I'm going to finally get to meet you in person. You've done this before. Why don't you go ahead and plug this? It's the State of the Frogdom.
Yes. So just a little bit sidebar real quick. This is a short episode, but I can guarantee you next week we'll make up for it a lot. We'll have to talk depth chart release and preview the game week one. So
yep,
a short one this week, and next week when it runs long, just put them together, divide them into two, and you get your equal.
I bet we go 90 minutes, man. It might take a while.
Yeah. All right. Killer Frog, State of the Frogdom. It is a super, super fun event. Basically, what's going to happen is you can buy your ticket for $70. It includes your an all-you-can-eat buffet. You get different T-shirts, stickers, different Killer Frogs gear that you can wear, show off a little bit. There will be the head coaches there. Jeremiah Donati, the athletic director, will be there. Sonny Dykes, Kirk Sarlos, Jamie Dixon. Pretty much every single head coach that is there working at TCU will be at this event and will be speaking in front of a panel. And it's not like you're in an auditorium setting. You're about 10 feet away from all of these coaches. These coaches will be sitting with you. They'll be talking with you, taking pictures. All of the staff, well, not all, most of the staff will be there. Like Nolan and I said, we'll finally get to meet. We'll get to hang out. All of us will be there. It's from 11 to 1 p.m. at the Hyatt TCU Ballroom, just right down the street off of Barry. It's truly such a fun event. I know it's kind of at a Friday, but if you want to take your kids out of school, it's only the first 3 weeks. No one really cares that much yet. But you can have them meet the coaches. I have been told today, and we've both been told today, Nolan, that there will be a few players there as well. Don't know who will be there yet, and that kind of scares me a little bit, but there will be a few players. It's truly just like a one-of-a-kind event. There's the Flying Tea Club event, which is kind of the same thing, but you basically get invited to that if you're a donor to them as well. This is pretty much open to the public. As long as you buy a ticket, you can get in. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet. It's pretty good. You get to meet the coaches. You get some cool, apparel. And I recommend pretty much anyone that hasn't bought their ticket or is on the fence about it, then just do it. You don't really go to many other schools where you have that much availability to the coaches all around the building and the programs.
Yeah, you definitely didn't at Baylor. I can tell you that, man. They didn't have any events that I could do that with them.
Yeah.
But most importantly, y'all will get to meet us.
Yeah.
Give us your feedback.
If I said something that made you mad at any point in the last 5 episodes and 6, including this, please, I'll be there. Tell me, and I will defend my point until my breath is away.
Or if you think I'm being stupidly optimistic all the time, come tell me. I will defend my point as well. I'm a nice guy. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to all the people we're going to meet there and talk to. Obviously, some of the staff, not just our staff, but the TCU staff as well that we know before will be there. It'll be nice to reconnect with all of them. But definitely looking forward to meeting our listeners and our fans. And, come talk to us. Come debate me. I love getting in a good debate. Yeah. So.
Ask Nolan for me why he's been the pessimist the last 2 episodes and I've had to be the optimist, because I'm still waiting on answers for that one. So, but yeah, it'll be really fun. I'm excited.
Yeah, this is why.
Fair. Yeah. Well, maybe if y'all didn't take Dominique Williams,
I can be a realist. I can be a real. I, my team is no longer in the Big 12. I can speak with complete realism in what I truly believe.
I was the world's biggest optimist until 2022, and then they canceled the national championship, and I've never been the same since. But yeah, anyways, come on by. If you listen or watch any of the other podcasts that I am on, then I'm sure I've at some point have made any of you guys kind of feel some type of way about what I've said. Please come talk to me, ask me, and I will be able to explain my point, or else I'll be like, wow, I don't remember that. And I'll walk away and get lost in the crowd. But don't let it happen, okay?
Frog fans, that does it for the sixth episode. I believe it's a sixth. Am I correct?
I believe so. That's what I put the title as. Okay, I should have verified, but I'm 90%.
I'm pretty sure it's a sixth. Sixth episode of the Gridiron Frogs podcast is a part of TCU Horned Frogs on SI. Thank you for tuning in, listening, watching, however you find your podcast. We'll see you next week. We might go an hour and a half. Who knows? With another great show. Until then, for my partner, JD Andres, and everybody at killerfrogs.com, I'm Nolan Ruth signing off. So long, everybody.
See you guys.